Jesus, you are just incredible. You are so beautiful. Everything about you, I love your life. I love your love, how it's unconditional and eternal, how you keep loving me when I'm not worth loving. I love your life. I love the fullness, the abundance. I love your peace, how it passes all my understanding. And I look at all these people around me at times, and I just see people just troubled and whatever. And then people call me, and you have me just speak just a few words, and they get peace. And some of them start crying, and most of them thank me. And Lord, it's just your life. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I ask that you would arrest our attention, that you would help us to see you like never before, that you would help us to make some choices today, that we would enter more into your life and you enter more into ours, and that we experience you and get just addicted to you. Jesus, I can't do it. I'm asking you to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Remember last week we talked about how close to Jesus do you want to be? We talked about how Jesus preached to the multitudes. And Jesus tries to speak to people, every person on the planet. He does, but not all here. But he preaches to everybody. He'll speak to anybody because he cares about every person. The person that you like the least, Jesus loves very much. You see, the people who deserve love and forgiveness and kindness the least, they need it the most. Hurting people can't help but hurt other people. Do you remember what Jesus said? Remember what our Lord said on the cross? When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus preached unto the multitudes. And then you had Jesus feed the 5,000. And then he fed the 4,000. There's people that just want Jesus to bless them. Give me this day my daily bread. Just bless me. Just take care of me. Pay the rent. Give me food. Thank you, Jesus. But there's some that want more, and there was the 500 that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. There's people that are looking for more. There's people, I ask people, I'll be in the same situation with somebody. I say, did you see God? And they go, what? All I saw was this. I saw God in the situation because I'm looking for more. Are you looking for more? Where are you? Are you just in the multitude? Are you those that just looking to get fed or have your rent paid? Just want God to bless me a little bit. I call it patchwork Jesus. I just want Jesus to bless me a little bit. The 500 who saw him, the 70 that he sent out, they're those that are busy for God, doing things. That's good. All of these are good. It's just, where do you want to live? There was 70 that Jesus sent out to reach the world. 70 he sent out to go and heal people. And they came back amazed. Ha! The dead are raised. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. And Jesus said, if I send you out, I send you out with power. All you got to do is believe me. All you got to do is be willing to go. And I'll equip you. And then you had the 12 that walked with him. Have you ever been reading the Bible or heard about the 12 disciples? And have you ever heard yourself thinking, man, I wish I could have been one of those 12 disciples. I wish I could have been with him. I wish I could have seen all those things. I wish I could have been with Jesus and just 3.5 years to personally hang out with Jesus? You ever thought that? And then there was the three. We get down to here. We get down to the three. There was three of the disciples, of the 12. You see, the 12 were in this group out here that was preached to. But then they wanted to get a little more closer to Jesus. Then they became part of the 5,000 that were fed. Not all of these that were preached to were fed. Because they heard, but then they went away. What do we do with Jesus? And the 4,000. See, those 12 were part of the 4,000. And then they were part of the 500. And they were part of the 70. And now they were part of the 12. And actually there was 120 in there that was in the upper room. Waiting for Jesus. 70 sent out. 12 disciples. Of the 12 disciples, there was three. And what if we took this group right here and said the 12 disciples. But there was three that went with Jesus up on the mountain when Moses and Elijah showed up. It was called the Mount of Transfiguration. When there was an appearance of two men that had gone before, Moses and Elijah, and God the Father sent them there, and they're seeing them like angels, bright and shining, and the disciples, the three, fell down. Those were only the three that were with Jesus. And those same three went with Jesus when Jesus was going to be crucified. And he took the 12 with him and said, go with me, come on, let's pray. And he took the 12 with him and he said, now, the 9 of you, sit here. The 3 of you, come with me a little further. Come with me more. And he began to share his heart. What if Jesus began to share his heart with you? What if you became his intimate friend? What if you became his bosom buddy? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? How close to Jesus do you want to be? And in the Bible, it says there was one man, only one, that leaned on his breast. My wife and I, whenever we hear kind of conversation going this way, or whenever we're talking about it because of something we're reading in the Bible and then we're sharing with one another, which we do all the time, we both say, I say, I'm going to be the one. Like I'm telling her about this. I say, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to go and snuggle up on the lap of Jesus and hug him. See? I'm going to go be that one. And she goes, I'm going to be the one. And I said, no. I'm already the one. She goes, no, I'm going to be the one. But don't you understand that you, each one, could be the one? But guess what? You get to live at whatever level of closeness to Jesus you want. So can I stop here and ask you, how close to Jesus do you want to be, honestly? How close? Because can I give you a thought? The people that were out here, they got to experience Jesus. And the people that were here got to experience Jesus. But it was like some people are just content. I'll just go on Sunday morning. Going Sunday morning is a big deal. Because guess what? There's a whole lot of people that don't even go to church on Sunday morning. Don't go to God's house. Don't hear His Word. But there's other people that they do that and then they say, hey, I want more. And they come more often. And then there's other people that say, hey, I want more of God. So they start reading the Bible. And then there's other people, they want more, and they start praying. And they start talking to God because they actually believe what the Bible says and believe that God hears them when they talk. How much of Jesus do you want? It's not just saying the words. It's choice. If you know me, you know that we had some young people come here one time some college-age kids. And after they came, I think it was the second Sunday or third Sunday they came, or whatever day they came, and they started calling me Pastor Challenge. And I said, why do you call me Pastor Challenge? They said, because every time you open your mouth, you're challenging us. And I said, is that bad? They go, no, that's good. And one of them said, I went to Bible college for a whole semester down in Ann Arbor. It's called Spring something. I don't know what it's called. Something. And he's Spring Harbor. And he said, I got more challenge, closer to God by hanging out with you for 3 hours and listening than I did a whole semester at Bible college. He said, I kept asking questions. I kept trying to find God there. And he said, man, I walked in here and it's like, you know, you just dump God out on me. I don't want to bore you by telling you my testimony again of how I met Jesus when I was a drug dealer. I don't want to tell you all that because so many of you heard it so many times you were like, I would look at you while I'm talking and your mouth is moving because you're saying the same words I'm saying because you've heard it so many times. I don't mean to bore you, but I have never gotten over meeting Jesus. I just can't get over how much he loves me and how he saved me and how he found me where I was. And he said, I love you. And I'm like, I'm in vomit and I'm in a gutter and I'm filthy and I'm wicked. And Jesus says, I love you so much. And I'm like, why? I'm laying in vomit. Why would you love me? And he reaches down, way down, and he picks me up, and he washes me clean in his blood, and he holds me, and he hugs me, and he loves me, and he comes to live inside of me. And I can't get over it. I just don't ever get over it. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. That's what I want for you. As I look around this room, there's people in different areas. I just want to help get you closer. I want you to experience Jesus. I'm not talking about little patchwork Jesus, little feel good for a little bit. You know, a little God bump. So wasn't that wonderful? Okay, great. If that's okay, you had a taste. Now, would you like to eat? Okay, would you like to, like, buffet with Jesus, huh? Would you like to, like, hang out, like, eat on Jesus? See what I'm saying? Whew. So I got questions, but I'm afraid to ask you all these questions, these three questions, because I don't want to overwhelm you. So let me just give you one question. Over the next few weeks, I will plan on asking you these questions. But I'm going to ask you one. I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it. I want you to ask yourself, why did he ask that? What does that mean? Is that true in my life? Okay? Because you want to get closer to Jesus, right?
Right.
I'm sorry. How about I know the three of you, four of you said yes. Do you really want to get closer to Jesus?
Yes.
Would you like to know life? Life is different than existing. Before I met Christ, I was existing. I hated my life. I could make straight A's. I could be successful doing a paper route and make all kinds of money. I could be a drug dealer and be successful, make all kinds of money. I could do those things, but I was miserable. I had people. I have personality. People all my life, you know, it's like I have friends. I always have friends. But right before I met Christ, I remember sitting in my apartment the rock music going, my apartment filled with people doing my drugs, and I'm sitting there on the couch looking at all these people and thinking, I am so lonely. I am so empty. I had anything I wanted. I was making $2,000 to $5,000 a week. I was 19 years old. I had anything I wanted. I went anywhere I wanted. I did anything I wanted. I had girls. I had friends. I had cars. I had a motorcycle. Who cares? All of those things are temporary. They may make you happy, but they don't make you fulfilled. They don't make you content. Do you understand? Amen. Question, just one. Is God your life? Is God your life? Now I can do my sermon. Thank you, Jesus. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Harvey, why do you make all those noises? You know, I don't do anything the way anybody else does. So God just wants to get loose through me that way just to make me look foolish. Then just allow me to look foolish for Jesus, okay? If I make these noises, okay? I know, but that's going to be tempered, Carson. That's going to be tempered. I know, you're like me, but we're going to temper that. That's why God gave you Patty for a month, okay? It is. All right, okay. It's different when God wants us to make us look foolish than when we open our mouths and do that, because I've done that so much. Okay, look at verses 9 and 10. Maybe we'll do a few more. Okay, let love be without dissimulation. What is dissimulation? It means without hypocrisy. It means to be sincere. Love with sincerity. Abhor, hate that which is evil. Cleave, cling to that which is good. If we just stopped right now, you said you want to get closer to Jesus. Does Jesus have some evil with him? Does Jesus compromise with evil?
No.
Why do we? God, I don't want to do that. I want more of you. He said, if you want more of me, there's going to be less of that. You see what I'm saying? Okay, you with me? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection to one another with brotherly love.
Aww.
See what I'm saying? Do you understand? In honor, thank you. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. You know, one of the best testimonies you could have at work? Be the best worker there is there. Be the hardest worker. Don't just do what they tell you to do. Do more than they tell you to do. I used to get in trouble when I worked at GM for doing too much work. But I was raised down south, and we worked long hours, and I didn't even know what overtime was when they paid me overtime the first time. They told me you're going to get overtime. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Then when they paid it, I'm like, you gave me too much. They said, well, you worked overtime. I said, what's that? Because down south at that time, I guess we didn't have it because I worked a lot of overtime and I didn't get paid overtime. So I wasn't expecting it. We need to break agreement with an attitude I deserve. Do you understand? Because what we say we deserve is not really what we deserve. Do you know what we deserve? I'm sorry, somebody say that a little louder. That's what we deserve. That's why Jesus, I love him so much, because he got what I deserve. And then he offered me what he deserves. A relationship with Daddy, Heavenly Father. Heaven, eternal life. To be a Christian, to be a baby Christian. I get to be a baby Christian. But it's all through Jesus, because he got what I deserve. What I deserve is hell. Anything better than hell is more than I deserve. That does away with complaining. What do you think? What do you think? Isn't that cool? That's what we're talking about, agreeing with truth. Here we go. Not slothful, not lazy in business. Fervent in spirit. Okay? Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Hope, you don't see it. You're hoping it's going to happen. I hope in what's going to happen from what I've read in God's Word. I'm believing it, but I haven't seen it yet, so I'm hoping for it to happen. So I'm going to rejoice and thank Him already while I'm waiting. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patient in tribulation means when you're going through hard times, remember these words. In the Bible it says, it came to pass. That tribulation you're going through didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's only just a little season you're going through, like spring or fall or summer. It's going to end. What am I supposed to learn, Lord, while I'm going through this? How can I do this? He said, you can't without me. You need me. He said, I put you in a situation where you can't make it without me. I got your attention. Okay? And then it says, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. That means in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, it says, pray, I'm sorry, 16, 17, 17, pray without ceasing. It means to be in a constant attitude of prayer. Talk to God about everything. Watch this. Young lady, do you like Him to talk to you? And He doesn't always talk to you and tell you everything. And you're wanting to know, what are you thinking? You want Him to include you in His life. God wants us to include Him in our lives. Prayer. Talking to Him about everything. I want to give you an outline about stages. The title is Stages of Walk and Growth as a Disciple of Jesus. Stages. This is something God showed me when I was in Africa and I had a lot of time. God had me write this down. He kept bringing it to me and it was like, okay, Lord, I feel like I'm supposed to write this down. And He's like, oh, I don't need to twist your ankle for you to get it? Okay. He says, yeah, write it down. So I wrote it down. 7 points. I'm not going to preach the whole thing today. I'm going to give you the 7 points just so you know what they are. And then we're going to talk about it, I think, the next couple, maybe 3 weeks. Stages of walk and growth as a disciple of Jesus. It goes along with what we talked about last week. Where are we? How close are we to Jesus? You say you want to be closer. We first have to identify where we are. Okay? Stages of walk and growth as a disciple of Jesus. There are 7 points. Saved, surrendered, submitted, soldier, servant, son, sitting on His lap. So let's talk about them. Saved. When somebody gets saved, they are born into God's family. Do you know that every person on the planet is, God is not their father? God is the creator of every person on the planet. But He's not the father of every person. Because every person has not been born again. Look over in John 3:3, please. And then we're going to go to Galatians 3:26. Okay? I'm afraid something's going to fall out or get sucked in. Okay. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, you know, if you ever speak up here and you look at the faces of what people do, you know, some people are digging for gold in their nose. I mean, other people got their mouth like, wah! ah, I'm like, dude, cover that thing. Somebody's going to fall in or something. Like, you want other people? You know, it's like, I can't wait till you get to stand up here. I just can't wait. We have too much fun. Are you ready? Is this church? All right. We're having fun. How can it be church? Okay. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Turn over to Galatians 3:26. Galatians. You got John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians 3:26. And then we're going to go to Ephesians, which is the next book. Galatians 3:26. What? Thank you. She has a little trick of how to memorize the books of the Bible. Hers for Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians is go eat popcorn. Okay. But anyway, G-E-P. Okay. So here we go. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Ephesians, then we're going to go to verses 18 and 19 in the Bible. Okay. Ephesians 2, verse 12 and 13. That at that time you were without Christ. You see, before somebody gets born again, what year is this? What year? 2014 what? AD. What does AD mean? After death? Actually, it's a Latin. And it means Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. But we call it after death because BC means before Christ. AD, after death. But it was actually from the time he was born. So it wasn't really after his death. It was Anno Domini, means the year of the Lord. The year the Lord was born on the planet. Okay? It's Latin. Anyway, I didn't make all this up. I'm just, for some reason, I know it. I just felt like I need to tell you. I feel better now. I got that out of my system. Okay, but so this is 2014 AD. Well, before you get saved, your life is BC, before Christ comes to live inside of you. When you meet him, for me it was 1976, that was the year of the Lord for me, the year I met the Lord. That's why I can't quit talking about it. That's why I talk about it so much, because it's like my whole life began. Before that, I hated my life. I told you, I wanted to commit suicide, and I tried to figure some way to do it where it wasn't going to hurt me. And then when I figured out a way, I know that sounds stupid, but, well, I had a friend that drowned, and that could not have been fun because I didn't like that idea. And then I had another guy that he hung himself when I was a teenager, a close friend. They shut the school down because of that. Other people died from, one was murdered. Others killed themselves by drugs. Somebody I know was electrocuted. All these things just did not, they scared me. Because I was at the dentist the other day. He said, are you allergic to anything? I said, yeah, pain. You know, I just don't like pain. Okay. So when I figured a way out to kill myself that I didn't think was going to hurt me like the other ways, then I got afraid of where was I going to go, because I didn't know where I was going to go, and I was afraid of the unknown. And now that's why when people have threatened my life, I said, go ahead, pull the trigger. I said, you're trying to threaten me with Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not afraid anymore. But I used to be terrified of where I was going to go. And now I have so much confidence that I'm not afraid if somebody threatens my life. I'm not afraid of dying. That's where I want you to be. I got the same thing from the Bible. I want you to get it. These same things. Because many of you, as we talk, you end up being afraid. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of what's coming. You're afraid of dying. You know? all these things. And it's like, I want to help get you past. I want to get you closer. So you zeroed in on Jesus. So listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That at that time, before Christ, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, God had made promises, but you couldn't enter into them because you weren't with Christ yet. Having no hope and without God in the world. I can't tell you how many times I've heard recently people say to me, I can't imagine living without God. I can't imagine going through life without God. And this says, and you were without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, you're made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 18, please. For through Jesus, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Holy Spirit unto the Father. Now, not later, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and you're of the household of God. When somebody gets saved, you become a member of God's family. The block between you and God is moved. Now you're a part of His family. You're included. You have access in that family. When my kids come over, they don't need to knock. They just come in. When people that are not my family come, they knock on the door. They just don't have free access. They have to be waited to be invited in. And there's some people that I don't let in my door. And then I think, okay, we got to get the house clean. So no, I only said that because Paula comes and cleans our house. No, I'm only playing. God knew she'd respond so good. Actually react. Okay. There's some people I don't let in my house. Somebody came to my house the other day, a salesman. And soon I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear this knock on the door. She goes, I'm not going to answer it. You have to answer it. That's how it goes. I'm not going to answer it. I don't want to talk to him. You go talk to him. That's what she says. I'm like, oh. So I go over to the door, and I open it. I'm like, I got to listen to, you know, we want to clean your yard up because it looks terrible, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, I don't care about my yard. Clam, you know. We want to sell you DirecTV. We want to give you $300 to switch over to DirecTV. I'm like, do I have to stay with you or do I just get the three? Anyway, you know, the Jehovah's Witness come to my door. I like talking to them because they always, anyway, I like giving them food for thought, you know, when they go away scratching their head. The Jehovah's Witness, they kept combing our neighborhood. And so there was a group standing on the other side, and these two came up to my door, and I opened the door, and I went to stand. I started to say something, and the group across there, I'd already talked to them before, and he said, you might as well leave. He believes Jesus is God in the flesh, and you ain't going to go anywhere with him. You know, he said something like that. Because when they come to the door, I just give them verses, and then they go, you know, and they always end up leaving. I ask them questions because I tell them I'm not going to listen to their stuff. I said, if you stay here, you're going to listen to me, and I'm not going to, I don't have any short stories. And so look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, okay? Chapter 4, verse 6. Go eat popcorn. Okay. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Wow. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you gotten saved? Are you born again? If I ask you, tell me, when did you meet Jesus? It's got to be the best day of your life. Not when did you join a church. Not when did you hear about God. Not when did you start going to a church or joining a group or talking to people about God. When did you meet Jesus? When? If I ask you, because I've done this here, if I ask you, would you please write down your testimony? Take me back to the time or the place when God was dealing in your heart, you realized that you were a sinner and you were on your way to hell. When did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? So I've had people tell me, I'm born again. I had a lady tell me the other day, I'm born again. I said, when do you see yourself deserving to go to hell? She went. I said, maybe you need to go answer that question. Because you can't get saved until you realize what you're getting saved from. To get saved means you realize that you are without God. You're separated from God. You don't know where you're going when you leave this earth. Or if you do know where you're going, you don't want to go there. Or if you think you're going to heaven, it's only because you don't want to consider the alternative. When were you born again? When did you meet Jesus? When did love come to live inside of you that you couldn't help but love people that you hated the day before? When? When did that happen? When did your life change to the glory of God? That's why I've told you over and over. July 1st, 1976, 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday, Harriman, Tennessee, Riverside Baptist Church, 3 days for the bicentennial, I met Jesus. It's like, that's when it happened for me. Before that, 6 different denominations had baptized me, 6 different churches. I go to church, they'd be teaching, somebody would be up here teaching, I'd be down here, I'd be raising my hand, excuse me. What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Who's Abraham? Who's Sarah? Who are these people? They go here? Is that your neighbor? You know? No. Abraham, the father of faith, father of the Jewish nation, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. Then they go on, and now they're talking about Sarah. Who's Sarah? You know? I don't know who these people. Could you wait till the end? Because I kept interrupting. Could you wait to the end? Because I'm not just going to sit there and play the game. Sorry. I want to know. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to be involved. I got to know what's going on. So I would ask questions. Could you wait to the end? And then at the end, they would all surround me and start asking all these questions. Well, I'd been in church enough, I could answer their questions. But we're not called to be a Christian encyclopedia. It's not just knowing about God. I'm going to do it again. I just did this with a telemarketer this week or somebody, credit card lady or whatever she was. I said, I want you to take your hand and point at your head. I said, you know about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, George W. Bush. Now point at your heart. Have you ever met any of them? No. I said, point at your head. You know about Jesus Christ. Have you ever met him? No. I said, would you like to? Yeah. When you meet Jesus, that's to be born again. Is that in the Bible? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It is to know God in a personal way. To get closer to Jesus, we got to start with being saved. The Bible calls it born again, saved, converted. Okay? So the first part, the first point is saved. Second point, surrendered. Turn over to Matthew 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. When somebody gets saved, they surrender to God's lordship. That means they surrender to doing what God wants them to do. If somebody's never surrendered, they probably didn't get saved. They're still a rebel. When somebody gets saved, God takes out of you that stony, rebellious heart. And He gives you His heart, which is pliable and teachable. It doesn't mean you become perfect. It means you start wanting things different. Before that, you could sin and there was no struggle. Well, I don't mind. I see that money. It ain't mine. I took it. I got away with it. Now you boast to everybody, I got away with the money, I saw it. After you get saved, you go to steal that money. First of all, you go even think about it. You have this thought inside of you, you shouldn't steal it. That's God. You have this other thought, I should steal it. That's your flesh. That's the devil. That's the world. That's the way they take care of number one. But you have this struggle inside of you. Do it or not do it. Before you met Jesus, you didn't have a struggle. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then even if you steal it, after you're saved, you can't have peace. You cannot sin and have peace. You can't. If you can sin and have peace, you ain't born again. It's so simple. I just thought I'd help you. There's an indicator. Okay? When somebody gets saved, the next step is to surrender. Matthew 28:19-20, our blessed Lord Jesus said this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Baptizing them in the name of Jesus, you see. "Teaching them to observe or to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you to do." He says, "And lo, check it out. Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. He says, "I won't give up on you." He says, "I'll be with you, whatever you're going through." When somebody gets saved, the next thing, the next step is surrendered. They get baptized, they join a church. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. If you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, 41. Let me ask you a question. Do those of you who have known me for any amount of time, do you think I'm an easily led person? Easy to convince, lead? Not at all, right? God has both hands full, doesn't he? Do you know why I want to read this book? Do you know why I want you to read this book? Do you know why I want you to have this book in your hand and open it up when I'm talking to you? The night before I met Jesus, not because I was looking for Jesus, but I was trying to find a way to make money so I could pay my way through college without spending the drug money so nobody asked me where I got my money. Okay? I was going to sell books door to door, and the main book was the Bible. When I started reading the different books, came to the Bible, opened it up, it said, you know, words of Christ in red, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'd never heard of that before, opened it up. I read that Bible, and it so captured me that I read 89 chapters in one night. Now listen to me. As I'm reading it, it was so ringing true. Wow, yes, 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 this is true. So many people have opinions. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. They just smell. Or maybe opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got two of them and they stink. Okay? I don't care what somebody's opinion is. I don't even care what my opinion is. I care what God has to say. I want you to put your faith in God. And in order to do that, you need to open the Word of God and read the Word. So that you are trusting in what God says. You're not following a man. I'm just a sinner that loves Jesus. Do you understand? I've been forgiven, but I'm not perfect. I'm not better than you. We all need Jesus. I need you, and you need me. You understand? But the one we need 24/7 is Jesus. And right there's the Word of God. Anytime you need Him, you can open it up, and the truth will give you peace, will give you hope, will give you joy, will give you comfort, will give you direction. We need the Word in our lives. I'm excited every time I look out and see somebody opening the Word and reading it. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them," added unto the church, "about 3,000 souls. If you're not sure if that's the church he's talking about, look at verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I didn't make it up. I'm not giving you my interpretation. I'm letting the Bible interpret itself. Verse 41, verse 47. When somebody gets saved, the next thing they do is they surrender. And they become a member. They get baptized. And in the Bible, when you get saved and then you get baptized, you become a member of that church. Do you understand? See, the Bible doesn't have this concept of North American Christianity where everybody gets to pick and choose what they want to do. The Bible doesn't have that concept. Oh, he witnesses to me at work. I go home, pray a prayer. Now I go over here because this church, it's comfortable and I know some friends and I do whatever. No. Somebody leads them to the Lord. Somebody witnesses. God puts them in their life. They help them. They get them baptized. And they get them involved, planted, a member of a local body called the body of Christ, called the house of God, called church, New Testament, ecclesia, called out assembly, called out from the world to assemble with Jesus. Saved. Surrendered. I'm just asking you right now. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know 100% for sure? If you were to die right now, you would immediately go to be with God in heaven. Some of you say, yes, I know that. And you say, why do you ask that often? Because so many people I meet don't know that. They think they're going to heaven. Why? I'm a good person. I help people. All these things. So that's why I asked this real hard question. Well, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Oh, well, I remember the first time God had me ask that question. I witnessed to a leader in a big church for over an hour. And I'm giving her verses, asking her all these third degree questions like I do with y'all. And she's answering them with Bible verses like I would answer them if somebody asked me. But inside of me, the Holy Spirit kept going, she don't know me. She ain't saved. I don't care what she knows because she don't know me. She only knows about me. She don't know me yet. But Harvey, he kept asking all these questions. Bah, 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 bah. And finally, it was like, okay, lady, I got to go do your tub. I got to go do the job I came here for. So I go upstairs, get down on my knees, because I pray over my work. I say, God, help me do this tub, and please open the door for me to talk to her. No, I said, God, I don't know what else to say to her. I'll never forget what God said. I said, God, I don't know what else to say to her. I've told her everything I know. You know what he said to me? God said, I was waiting for you to get done. I was waiting for you to run out of what all you thought needed to be said. I went, oh. I said, I am so sorry that I made you have to just patiently endure me saying all my words. And he said, it's okay, Harv, you're worth it. I'll wait on you. He said, if it takes you 10 years to learn this, that's fine. He says, I love you. He says, I'm not mad or disappointed at all. He said, I'm just glad you got it to ask me. I said, okay, will you forgive me? He goes, sure. So I forgive him. I said, well, what should I say to her? He said, go ask her this question. So I went back downstairs. It was right over there in Kentwood across from the high school on Kalamazoo and 60th, about halfway down, keep going down Kalamazoo or 60th from Kalamazoo, from Eastern, go that way. And then the sub was on the left. So I went back downstairs and I said to her, ma'am, could I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Her first answer, oh, I've never seen myself deserving to go to hell. Ding, 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 ding. The railroad sign went off. All of a sudden I could get it. I said, oh, I see. You believe in Jesus as God. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You believe in Jesus as the healer. You believe in Jesus as the one that can hear your prayer, but you don't believe in Jesus as the Savior because you've never seen yourself as lost, needing a Savior. And as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit said, "Now, Harvey, shut your mouth or you'll interrupt what I'm going to do." So I shut my mouth. Miracles happen. I walked. I just thought I'd let you know there is hope. There is a God. Okay. I walked back. Amen. Okay. See? Never mind. Okay. So I walked back upstairs, did my job, and I left. Collected the money, left. A year or 2 years later, the lady damaged my work. She called me. I go there, and I said, "Lord, is this that lady?" He goes, "She sure is." I walked in her house, and I said, "Ma'am?" I said, "Do you remember me?" She said, "Do I remember you?" She said, "You asked me a question, and I couldn't quit thinking about it for 4 months." And after 4 months, I realized I deserved to go to hell. She said it took 2 more months for God to work in my life till I got born again. She said, "Now I'm born again." She said, "Now I know what you're talking about in here." Before, I knew all about it in here. She was a leader in a huge church of the children's ministry. Now, I want you to hear me. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure if you died right this minute? We just went to a funeral here. My brother-in-law. Just not very long ago, like a week ago or something. Okay? People die all the time. It's not funny. I'm not playing. Are you born again? See, you know about Jesus, but you just come here, okay, whatever is going on with you. But when you leave here, I want you to know Him. I want you to have Jesus. I want you to be close to Him. I don't want you to carry Him in your pocket, you know, like a pack of cigarettes and lay Him down at night and pick Him up in the morning and, "Yeah, I got Jesus right in my pocket." You know? You know what I'm saying? I want you to know Him. If you leave here and you don't make a decision, the devil's going to come and snatch it away and you won't even remember what was talked about tomorrow. Even if it was stirring you and shaking you, like had a hold of you by the life cord today. I want to help you to know Jesus. I've introduced thousands and thousands of people to Jesus, and I want you to know Jesus. Pimps, prostitutes, pushers, druggies, drunks, policemen, Presence Corporation, whores, what do you call them, prostitutes, hitmen. And they meet Jesus and they're like, "Wow, I met Jesus." It's like, it's so easy. It's so easy to meet Jesus. Are you saved? Because you said you want to get closer. Are you surrendered? After you got saved, did you come and say, "Hey, I love Jesus and I want to follow Jesus"? What's the next step? Next step is baptism. Baptism. We have a cattle trough over there that we baptize people in. Cheryl, do me a favor and get Janine. Oh, there she is. We're ready for that song. That cattle trough over there, y'all have seen us do it. We put water in there. When somebody steps in that water, what does that look like? I'm sorry, what does that look like? I'm sorry, what does that look like? I was just trying to get some volume. What does that look like? Oh, okay, good. Thanks, Carson, for coming back. Okay. So when somebody steps in that water, it pictures the death. Then we ask them, "Are you trusting in Christ as your Savior?" "Yes, I am." Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to what the Bible says, we baptize you, my brother, my sister, because now they're born again. We baptize you, bury you, baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, bury, you know, in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to raise you to walk in a whole new way. That's what you're telling everybody. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I want to identify with Jesus. I want to be a member of Jesus. And what you're saying to God is, God, I want to die to my old way and be raised from the dead, be raised to live a whole new way. I want to live your way. You see what I'm saying? And then you become a member. And next week we'll talk about submitted and what that's about. You said you wanted to get closer to Jesus. Maybe you're already past this. God, what else do I need? What do I need to get closer to Him? What do I need? Folks, I want you to experience joy so filled you can't quit talking about God. So full of joy, you don't need drugs and entertainment and alcohol and all those things. That's where I was when I met Jesus, and it's like, after I met Jesus, I didn't want those things anymore. Nobody told me to get rid of that stuff. I just didn't want them anymore. I wanted more of Jesus. Do you understand? I want them. That's why I started with, is God your life? Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. We love you for loving us first. Jesus, thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for being willing to leave heaven, come down to a foreign place, take on a body so you could become one of us. And then you loved us. You exampled what it is to walk with God. And then you said, Father, let me be Harvey's substitute. And you died on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus. I still like that thought. You can't keep a good man down. And then you raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. There's hope in you. And Jesus, I want there to be hope in each one here. Lord, these are my friends. I lift them up. I commit them into your hands. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and do what it is you're wanting to do, what they said they want. I want more of Jesus. Lord, help them today to see what you want for them to have more of Jesus. What you want to walk them into that step by step. Because I want you to be able to bless each one the way you want to bless them, as if they were your own children, as if they were Jesus Christ himself. Thank you, Father. Amen.